like it or not. Hallelujah. God put me here. I didn't fight for it. God put me here. Listen to the Lord. Follow him. He might send you to a cold tundra with white demons everywhere. My goodness. Maybe I wasn't listening. Father, did you say Hawaii? Or you say Iowa? I don't even know. Yeah, it's all right. Oh. I'm going to switch up my sermon today, but I do want to preach in the last two churches because I think it's valid for us this morning. But I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Right now, our hearts are open to what God is saying. He's revealing things, and we, man, Brent, way to listen to the Spirit on that last song. I'm sure that, was that even on the set? No, I didn't think so. But it was right. Follow the leading of the Spirit. I'm telling you, next week, you do not want to miss next week. I don't even exactly know everything, but God is just stirring me. I'm ready to cast some vision. But let me tell you, it's going to switch up. We have made, right now, what you're doing, according to Acts, is correct in what we're doing because we're listening to a person of authority, as they called the disciples or the apostles. You listen to their teaching because one of my main jobs as a pastor is to seek God to bring a word to his people. Now, if this is the only way that you're getting fed, you are starving. You understand what I'm saying today probably should be, or most definitely should be, a confirmation of what God has already been talking to you about all week or last month or whatever. And if this is just an epiphany, whoa, pastor, that's crazy. You haven't been getting your word enough. It should resonate with your spirit. Every once in a while, we'll be like, ooh, that's good, right? And that's why in Pentecostal churches, what I love is we say, amen, uh-huh, amen, uh-oh. No, he didn't, right? I mean, just whatever just comes out, right? As long as it's edifying the body, right? Uh-oh. Well, God has been speaking to us through these churches. We've read five letters to the messengers of five different churches that existed 2,000 years ago, but they're also for us today. I might show pictures in a little bit. I'm not sure. I just want to flow with this. So I want to get into, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to go to the last church before I go to the second church because I want to tap into what God is saying now, and then I want to bring the exciting good news of Jesus, what it looks like to be a faithful church. Okay? Okay, so if you have your word, please open to Revelation chapter 3. We'll start with this while you're looking up. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says this. See, when we read the book of Revelation, man, you've heard whatever you've heard about Revelation. I'm going to admit it. The last half of Revelation gets crazy. I'm like, what is this? What is going on? What does that mean and that mean and this mean? And that's why you search like the Bereans. You dig into it. That's what the word says. Be like the Bereans. These are people that really dug into God's word. They were really getting into what was happening, and they're trying to look at, instead of just these verses and biting off little chunks, they were looking at the whole scripture and what God is actually saying in the whole thing. Now, you know, scripture, verses didn't actually exist except for the last 300 to 400 years, right? This wasn't written with number 15. Number 16, that didn't happen in the Bible. It was a whole book as one giant story, right? So that's why a lot of times, even in America, we pick and choose, kind of like you do at Burger King or whatever, and you do it your way, right? And so you pick and choose, and a lot of times, see, Christians aren't very healthy because all they do is snack on the Word of God when you can eat. Come on now. You're just snacking. Oh, I got a little here, a little there. The only reason why you have number 15, 16, 17 is just because it's easier to say, hey, open that book up, go about halfway, go back about two pages, and then go like halfway down, and you'll see a paragraph. So it's for our convenience to find things. But if all we're going to do is snack on the Word of God, we're not getting the whole context. So be like the Bereans and search it out. So the last half of Revelation gets crazy, but it's not like beyond you. It's not beyond you. It just takes some work. We're getting lazy and searching the scriptures. And I think part of it, I have to admit, is my fault. Because I think there's people that come to church. Now, this is not popular, and this is not based off of church growth that we've learned in America, right? I have spoon-fed you for far too long. You have been a baby Christian. Now, if you're like, oh, this hurts, it's probably because it's for you. This is not to hurt you. This is to help you. I have spoon-fed you as your pastor God's word. And you've had little bites every Sunday or whenever Sunday you want to show up or listen or whatever. And I've just keep feeding you. And don't you realize you're 30, 40, 50 years old? You're not a baby. You can eat on your own. Right? Are you tired of the nasty squash and those little hot dogs that get in there and they look so nasty? I can't even believe kids eat that. Are you tired of that dog food looking stuff that the pastor keeps feeding you? This should encourage you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. How about you read the word out loud and get your own faith built up on a Tuesday? My goodness. On a Thursday. The church has been weak because we've turned this time right here into a performance. If you're attending this church because I'm funny, bye. Now I'm preaching a little bit of next week. Bye. I'm doing you no favors. If you're here because I have a crazy personality, you're missing it. All of us get into God's word. We got to go back to Acts. Go back to Acts and find out what it means to actually be a church. If your faith hasn't been stretched this week, you don't have no faith at all. If you haven't stepped out in something where you've been afraid because you don't know how it's going to turn out, you haven't exercised your faith, which means you have no faith at all. Where is your faith? Man, we walk by faith. But Americans like sight. Prove to me why I want to do that. I'm not going to do that unless I see results. Well, maybe you'll never see results this side of heaven. Doesn't mean you're not supposed to do it. Get to work. Get to work, church. Get to work. Get up on it. Okay, I'm done. So, I got to save some for next week. Oh, that's just a tiny little bit. God has just been stirring me. I've been saying this from the very moment. That's going to freak people out. Y'all ready to be freaked out? Freak out! Y'all ready? Are you guys ready? Honestly? From the moment I became lead pastor, what did I say? She said, run! I'm just playing, I didn't say that. I put you on the spot, I'm sorry. The thing that I said, we are doing the church the wrong way. I said, it doesn't feel right. I've said that from the moment. Now, I have never said that to you all. Why? Because it freaks you out. And the reason why I didn't say it, I've been almost the lead pastor here, you know, in a couple more months will be 5 years. It's taken this long to say, I have prayed this over and over and over again. Why would you put that on my heart the moment I step in the pulpit? Why would you do that? I said, God, I can't say that until I have an answer. I can't say that to anybody until I have an answer. I told my wife it. I told maybe one or two other people, but we have been doing something wrong. Why? Because we don't resemble. Do we think about what we do right now? Do we resemble the first church that Jesus died for and that spread all over the world? The reason why you're sitting here today, the church that happened in Jerusalem, the church that happened all over the Middle East, the churches that we're reading about even this morning, do we resemble that at all? 2021 is going to be different. Okay? It's going to be different. Now, God also did say this to me. It's going to be so different, people will leave. And that does break my heart. But my job is not to make converts. It's to make disciples of Jesus. When you come Sunday morning, you might have nice shoes, but they better be work shoes. Now, I'm for real. Bring them physically if you want to, but you better bring them spiritually. If you're not serving Jesus Christ, you're not following Jesus Christ. You're not. Everything that has to do in God's word, every single thing is to lay on your cross, to die daily, and to serve. Everything you do, serve, serve, serve. It's over and over again. And we don't like that in America. Why? Because many of you today came today because the pastor needs to serve you. Serve you some word, right? And the worship team's got to serve you some good worship today. And maybe I didn't like it, or maybe the pastor didn't like this or that. We're so consumers. We're consumers, consumers, consumers. And we've consumed enough. We consumed the cross, right? We've consumed the cross. That's all you ever have to have. You have the bread of life. You're done eating, right? You have the source. Now it's to give, right? Come on now. Where are we at? I don't even know. Okay. We're at church, Father. You're not only at church, you are the church. Man, I put that on Facebook a couple of days ago. You right here, we can go outside, which I don't want to do because the white demon is out there. But we could go out there right now and this would not change at all. Other than we'd hear our neighbors and maybe they would hear the word. That shouldn't change at all because you are the church. Nice building, thankful for it. And pretty soon it's going to have to get bigger. Okay? It's got to get bigger, only for his glory, though. And if there's going to be a name and you're going to say, oh, you got to come hear this preacher. No. First off, I want to say this off the top. If they're coming to hear Pastor Harris Holzapfel IV, no middle name, right? If they're coming for this guy, you're at the wrong church. You want to come here because you want the presence of God. Right? I might be the leader, but I don't want to be a name. See, that's what happened with all these revivals we've seen in the last 30, 40 years. It always became a name and a person. Oh, that person's anointed. No. God's anointing is in you. When you come, you stir it up. When you come, you bring it. When you come, you pull it from heaven. Right? It should be the anointing. Yes, you need to have a leader or you're all going to act a fool because shepherds got to lead some sheep, but sheep are still sheep and God has still anointed you to be a sheep, right? Now, if you're a wolf, get out. We don't want you. Okay? Y'all can go to another church. But sheep. And we are the church. This is the church. We're going to switch it up to make it look like what God has always intended it to be. And the main thing what we're gonna do is we're gonna serve. Many of you in this seat right now have never served at First Open Bible, and that is heartbreaking. Not necessarily to me. It should be heartbreaking to you. You have missed out. You have not followed Jesus the way that he's called you to follow him. The way you follow Jesus is serve. Jesus got down and washed people's feet. And then what happened? He said, now you guys wash each other's feet. What we do is we just watch Jesus wash feet and we forget to wash other people's feet. That's the next commandment. He showed and then he says do. Jesus showed and then we do. If you're just sitting in these seats to absorb, you're in the wrong church in 2021. It's time to serve. That's not condemning you. That's giving you an opportunity because I'm believing there's going to be a lot of opportunities. Dave Wagner, missions and outreach. We're going to have a lot of discussions this year, okay? We're going to have a lot of discussions. We're going to do a lot of things. We need to be the church. The local church must do something now, because the time is running out. We must do something now. We must lock arms together and go out and do things that God has called us to do. Partner with things that are doing amazing things. Get involved. There's kids downstairs right now, and the only reason why you're able to sit here is because they're down there. There's many parents, including myself, that if I didn't have a teacher down there, I could not be preaching right now. What if one Sunday, because we don't have enough helpers, I've said this from the pulpit long enough, what if one of these Sundays, this is what's going to happen, I told Sherry, and she knows I'm crazy enough to do it. I will be down there teaching, and you guys will all be wondering, where's the pastor? And they'll have to say, there wasn't enough help, so he went down to teach the kids. See, that should never happen. We are the church. That doesn't make any sense at all. Does that make any sense at all? Only in America. Right? Come on, missionaries, know what's up. All over the country, all over the world, there's people serving all the time. As soon as they accept Christ, they know persecution is coming and they know they must serve. They said, you know what, I might die, but I'm willing to die now because now I know where I'm going. And I'm willing to serve because I know much how much I've been served. Right? Okay, I'm done. Father, come on now. All right, where are we at? Revelation chapter 3. I'm excited. I am very excited. Why am I excited? Because I know that we are on victory's side. I'm excited because I know that we always have victory in Jesus' name. I'm excited because his grace and his mercy never run out. I'm excited because what happened this morning is just the beginning of what God is going to do. There's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. Why do I know that? Because it says in the last days, we already see what's going on in the last days. And we see all the negative things. We always talk about the negative things. There's going to be lovers of pleasure. You know, there's going to be people that are evil. I mean, we see all these things that the Bible talks about. But also in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all men and women, and there's going to be prophecy, tongues, interpretations. There's going to be dreams and visions. There's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. So we need to talk about it all. Okay? Let's be real. It's going to get bad. It's going to get bad in the flesh, but in the spirit, it's going to get amazing. Revelation chapter 3, we're going to go to the last church, the church of Laodicea, everyone's favorite, the lukewarm church. Hallelujah. Woo! Verse 14, that's where we're going to start. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen. Come on now. The faithful and the true witnesses in the beginning of God's new creation. I know all things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. Exclamation point. Remember, this is Jesus' words. Mine's in red. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Oof. You say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that will have been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed of your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. Verse 19, I correct and discipline everyone I love. Oh, baby. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and, what is it, church? Knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Come on. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Hallelujah. Let's get in it. Some of the Lord's harshest words recorded in the whole entire Bible were directed at the Christian church of Laodicea. My goodness. Verse 16 and 17 says, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I will puke you out. Blah. Nasty. Verse 17. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. This is the church saying this. I don't need a thing. Jesus, I'm rich. I don't need nothing. And you realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, this church was lacking in so many different ways. It was compromising. It was self-sufficient. It was materialistic. It was conceited. It was proud. And it was Christless. The city of Laodicea was the wealthiest of the seven cities and known for its banking industry, manufacture of wool, and its medical school. But the city always had a problem with its water supply. Man, we got a problem here. At one time, an aqueduct was built to bring water from a city, from a hot spring, just 6 miles that way. Let's just kind of guide it in to our town. But by the time the water reached the city, it was neither hot nor refreshingly cool. It was or became lukewarm. See, cold springs are refreshing, hot mineral springs are healing, lukewarm is nauseating. The Christian church of Laodicea became lukewarm, distasteful, and repugnant. These believers didn't take a stand for anything. Their indifference had them idle. Now, you ever been to a pond that's water was idle for a long period of time? There's no source coming in and there's no source going out. There was no flow. How's that source of water smelling? Stagnant and stanky. Woo! You stink, right? Stinky. Imagine just reaching down and going, oh, that's good. I think I got a tadpole in that one. The Christian church of Laodicea has become lukewarm. By neglecting to do anything for Jesus Christ, the church had become hardened, self-satisfied, and destructive. As we see here in this letter, we remember again that there is nothing more nauseating to God than a half-hearted, self-focused, self-sufficient Christian. Whew. Would you consider yourself hot? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I look good today. What up? How you doing? That's not what I'm talking about. Come on now. I only said that because some of y'all are looking around going, uh-huh. I shaved today. I got deodorant on. I'm looking good. We thank you for that. Even 6 feet apart, we thank you. Because we remember last week, would you consider yourself hot, cold, or lukewarm in your Christianity? Followers of Jesus, do not settle for following God halfway. Be on fire for him. Or even in God's word, it says either be on fire or just turn from him. You got to be one or the other. If you're in the middle, you're right in that middle, it's the worst place to be. It's gross to God. Nasty. He spits you out of his mouth. It don't taste good. Verse 17 says, you say I am rich and have everything I want. I don't need a thing. That's the church talking. And Jesus says, and don't you realize that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind and naked? Don't you realize? See, false teachings, the prosperity gospel, and some believers still believe this false assumption that only numerous material possessions are a sign of God's spiritual blessing. I'm here to tell you today, just because you don't got a Beamer, just because you don't got some Escalade, or you don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars in the bank account, just because you don't have that, you might be like the rest of the world, and they are on fire for God, and they are spiritually rich. They might not even have shoes on their feet. Their grass hut has a big old hole in it, and they're trying to find the next piece that they can put up there because a monsoon is coming. But man, are they rich? So rich, we couldn't even dream how rich they are. City and the church of Laodicea, they were wealthy. But what the Laodicean church could see and buy had become more valuable to them than what is unseen and what is eternal. The Laodiceans were financially wealthy yet spiritually bankrupt. Wealth, luxury, and ease. Now this talks to every single person in America. This is not a slam on America, but we don't know any. The poorest person in America that lives below the poverty level, you are more rich than 80% of the entire world. You understand that? You can be the poorest person in America and you are more rich than 80%. That is millions, probably billions of people. That's why God bless the United States of America. This is God's land. God, America is incredible. We are unique and there has never been a country like us before. And that's why God has blessed us, because we put him at the center at the beginning and he has blessed us beyond belief. We just listened to this. 4% of all of the world's population lives in America. 4%. Yet 30 to 40% of all things that take place when it comes to getting involved with things or helping feed people going out and giving resources were 30 to 40% of the entire world. 4% does 30 or 40%. Now, can that preach today for a church of 300? A church of 300, which might be a percentage of Cedar Rapids, can do 20 to 30% of good in Cedar Rapids. It's possible. It's possible. It's not only possible, it's probable. It's not only probable, God is calling us to do it. Thank you, God. What we have to understand is no matter if we have wealth, luxury, and we have ease in our life, you can feel confident, satisfied, but you're going to be complacent. No matter what you own on your own and the money that you make, you have nothing if you do not have a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. When God blesses Christians with prosperity, it's not wrong to have prosperity in America. God bless America. Here's what he expects. If you are prosperous in America, God expects Christ-centered stewardship in return. A Christian with wealth bears a burden of responsibility to discover why God would bless them. What is God's purpose in blessing him or her with that wealth? Let me tell you, it's not this. It's not to hold on to it. Read the story of the talents. You're just going to bury it and hold on to it. Wicked servant. Man, that's wicked. Go and plant. And it wasn't just talking about going into the stock market and buying houses or real estate or whatever. It's talking about you have something, plant something eternal. If God is receiving you, you know, here on earth and he's blessing you, invest it into eternal things. And that's where you get your tenfold, hundredfold, thousandfold. The Bible says that you can't serve both the love of money and God. You can't do both. Instead, centering your lives primarily on comfort and luxury, find your true riches in Christ. Hallelujah. I see people right now, you're going to use your vacation time at work to go on a mission trip. You're going to use your vacation time to go to hurting cities like Los Angeles, Houston, and Chicago, and you're going to do some inner city work. I just felt that in my spirit right now. You're going to be using the blessings that God has given you physically to do eternal things in return. Why? Because you're a servant. And God is changing things upon your heart right now that you're going to use those times to go out and do things. I don't know who that's for in here today, and maybe you've been thinking about what to do, but God is calling you to do something with that time, those resources, and that money for the kingdom of God. And even though you're like, man, I'm going to walk away so exhausted, yeah, you are physically, but you are going to be built so far up spiritually. You're going to go back to that work. You're going to go back to that position, and God is going to give you a new anointing, and not only an anointing, favor. Favor with those coworkers. Hey, what'd you do on your break? Oh, you went down to wherever, right? Oh, that's cool. You know, you got your tan on. You went and ate a bunch of guacamole. Guess where I went? Guess what I did? Like, why would you sacrifice your time? You work hard at this place. See, that's the mentality of Christians. Americans. You've worked hard for this. You deserve it. We don't deserve nothing. We do not deserve, that's terrible English, but you know what? That was my worst in school, so what's up, English teachers? What's up? This guy got a mic. I don't know how it happened. You should see my sermon. It's all kinds of a mess. Punctuation's all whack. Okay. Squirrel, right? Whoop. That's the way my brain works. That's why I write everything down. But you're going to do something incredible. God is changing your heart to do things eternal, okay? The only thing we deserve is to go to hell. The only thing we deserve is to go to hell. Why? Because we have sinned. That's why Jesus is so amazing, because he doesn't give us what we deserve. That's called grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And guess what? It's new every morning. It's new right now. If you need grace, mercy, and forgiveness, and you need to be reminded of where you're going, and you need to be set free from that today, just reach out to God and say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm sorry for what I've done. I need you to forgive me and change me from the inside. God, I don't want to be bound for hell. I don't want to be trapped in this sin and this darkness. I need you as my light. Light my path. Let me walk out what you call me to walk out. Let me be led by your Spirit, and let me walk into the things that you've called me to walk into. I must have a calling and not a job. Okay? It's for somebody. It's for somebody. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want people to leave this church, but if you got to leave this church, I want you to leave on fire for God, because God has called you to be a minister of the gospel of reconciliation into a new and better place. That's how I want you to leave. Be built up, be encouraged, be strengthened, be equipped to do the works of the ministry, to go out. Why? Because I want each and every one of you. This is a burden that I live with. I'll be judged greater. This is a burden I live with. I want each and every person right now, anybody out there, anybody who's hearing this is my burden for you, is I want you to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. I want you to hear those words when you stand before Christ on the day of judgment. Amen? Serve, church. You don't only have to serve at First Open Bible. Your life should be a life of servanthood. Y'all know I'm preaching to myself too, right? Hope you do. We can always be better servants, because we can always look more like Jesus. Verse 18 says, so I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that must be purified with fire, then you're going to be rich. Wow. But, and then it also says, also buy white garments from me, so you'll not be ashamed of your nakedness, and the ointment for your eyes, so you'll be able to see. See, Jesus tells the Laodiceans, the church members of the church, Christian church of Laodicea, to buy gold from him. Why? Right? They're all rich. No, 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 you're buying the wrong gold. Buy gold from me. Because the only real spiritual treasures come from him, and only those kind of treasures that come from Jesus are going to last forever. It's all going to be away. I don't care how rich, I don't care if you're Bill Gates. You ain't taking none of that with you. Turn your life around, Bill Gates. Turn your life around. You can have incredible wealth in heaven, because you have incredible wealth now that you can use it for the kingdom. Send that to him if you know him. We love you. We want you to come visit. I want to pray for you. Jesus loves you and he died for you. Why not? I think there needs to be a revival in celebrities. Think of the influence that has on America. We need revival. We need revival. We need real repentance in Hollywood, in the big tech, and all this stuff that's going on. You pray like that? You can pray like that. God will intervene. God, send somebody. If it's me, send me. If not, send somebody. They need the gospel. Think of the influence in America. Think of LeBron James spending that $30 million, $45 million he gets a year, and he's feeding people in Jesus' name all over Africa, Asia, and South America. Imagine that, instead of buying another house here and there. Come on now. We got it all twisted. Who's your idol? Hallelujah. It's MJ. I'm just playing. That was just a plug for somebody I love more than LeBron. Okay, I'm moving on. Moving on. So you got to buy your gold from Jesus. Why? Because that wealth is the only stuff that ever will last. Everything else will be gone. If you're older in here and you got a lot of money, make sure you write the right inheritance. Maybe your kids aren't going to get it all. Maybe some missionary or some mission. Ask God, what is it that you've stored up here to steward to give next? The city of Laodicea was proud of its cloth and its dyeing industries. So they took cloth and they dyed it different colors. But Jesus told them to purchase white garments from him. These garments, what are they? They're his righteousness. let God clothe your nakedness with his righteousness. See, nakedness in Scripture is a metaphor for defeat and humiliation. The Laodiceans pretend to be clothed in righteousness, but in fact they were naked, lacking in righteous acts. It was all bringing into the storehouse, and there was nothing going out. Jesus invites us to put on his righteousness this morning. Put on his righteousness so your shame will be covered by God. The city of Laodicea was prideful, and they prided themselves in this precious eye salve that helped heal many eye problems, right? That was one of their major things, is they had this medical school, and they made this special eye stuff that they sent all over, and it was healing people's sight. Incredible. Jesus in this letter tells the church to get medicine from him so they can see. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We already know how to see. No. You need to see truth so you can be healed forever. See, their possessions and their achievement and their riches are worth nothing compared to the everlasting future of Christ's kingdom. Verse 19 says this. Jesus says this, I correct. All right, everyone's favorite. Amen? Just like everyone's fruit of the Spirit, favorite one is self-discipline. Hallelujah. Self-discipline. Woo, glory. You know I'm playing, right? Okay, verse 19. Should become more and more worthy of your love, though. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. God would discipline this lukewarm church unless it turned from its indifference toward him. Jesus yet again is showing a way for mercy. This is a wicked, horrible church that's doing nothing. Absolutely nothing for the kingdom of God. It's all about them all the time. You never hear a nothing about them helping anyone else. And Jesus is so awesome that he even shows his mercy again. That's our God. See, God's purpose in discipline is not to punish. It is to bring people back to him. Now, you need to hear that today. God's purpose in his discipline is not to punish you. It's to bring you back to him. In verse 17, it says, Jesus calls the church blind. Remember we read that? Blind. See, what a paradox. Because the city was known for its exports of ingredients for an eye salve or a medicine that helped people with their sight. Jesus was disciplining their spiritual perception. Hallelujah. The only salve or the only medicine for your spiritual blindness is repentance and submission. Y'all catch that? Jesus was disciplining their spiritual perception because the only salve and the only medicine that you need comes from God, and you're only going to see truth from him, and your spiritual blindness is only going to be healed by repentance and submission. Hallelujah to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, good parents. Got some good parents in here? Say hallelujah. We're going to know you're a good parent if you discipline your children. Don't let your kid be that brat that everybody's like, dude, do not give them gum just because they throw a fit in the line, right? Like, come on. I said no, and no is no. You want to talk about this in the car? Okay, we will. Right? That's love. Not okay, honey. Oh, please don't throw a fit in front of everyone. Here's your gum. Here's five of them. Yeah, that's really going to teach them to be a good kid when they're older. We got a lot of babies up in some positions of authority right now. They're used to getting their way. And when they don't, they throw a fit, right? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. If you're a good parent, you're going to discipline the children that you love. See, I'm so thankful we serve a Father in heaven that does not give up on us. He loves us too much. He loves us too much to leave us the way that we are. And he wants us to come back to him whenever we need to. And sometimes God chooses to do that by disciplining us. Raise your hand, you've been disciplined by God before. You got a thump on the head like Bunny Foo Foo. Run through that forest. Yeah, been there. I have been there. See, we should ask the Holy Spirit to restore our spiritual sight. And then thank God for his continued loving discipline. Are you lukewarm in your devotion to God? I think I'm just going to do this church today. I'm going to finish up the other church next week. And I'm going to finish up the church next week by going into what God is saying for us in 2021. Okay? I just feel the leading of that right now. Are you lukewarm in your devotion to God? Remember, the best thing you can do is to be honest, to be vulnerable. We talk about him all the time, but King David, one thing that he didn't have was pride. He did not care what anybody thought. All he cared about was the truth of what Jesus said about him, what his God, Yahweh, I have messed up again. My heart is wicked. Look what I've done, right? The greatest king of all of Israel forever, right? He's amazing. The greatest king of all of Israel, God's chosen people. And why was he so great? Because he had a heart after God's own heart. That's why. Why? Because it was vulnerable and it was open and it was real. Hallelujah. See, God may choose to discipline you. He may choose to discipline the United States of America. Why? To help us out of our uncaring, self-serving attitudes. But our God only does that out of love. Because he loves us. That's why he'll discipline us. Would you let a kid just throw a fit and walk and walk and walk, and there's no guardrail on this? Let's say you're up on a high mountain somewhere and there's no guardrail there. Will you let your kid just play on the edge all day, all night? Just let them play and never say, hey, get back over here. And then they get closer and you say, get back here or I'm going to give you a pow-pow, right? A good daddy says, that's dangerous on that edge. Come back. Because why? He loves us. He doesn't want us to fall off and die. God disciplines those he loves. Why? Because he loves us. And he does not want us to be hurt or hurt others. And he wants us to come back to him. Always. We can avoid God's discipline. Why? How do we do that? By inviting the Holy Spirit into our hearts again to convict us. Then we will draw near to Jesus. How do you draw near to Jesus? Well, first it starts with confession. Confess your sins to one another, but also confess your sins to God. Repent, repentance, repentance, repentance. We keep hearing this. Why? Because it is so important. That's why. And we're going to keep hearing it till we get it. Right? Now I do sound like a daddy. You're going to keep hearing that until you get it right, right? Confession, repentance, service, worship, and studying his word. Hallelujah. That's how you draw near to Jesus. Verse 20. I'm getting close to end here. Verse 20 says this, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, hello, and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Jesus, he does not barge into churches where he's unwelcome. He awaits an invitation. Jesus, you are welcome here. You are welcome in this place. At any time, at any hour, if we all need to fall prostrate before you, if we all need to fall on our face before you, if we all need to ask for forgiveness before you, have your way. If we all need to celebrate before you, let's do it. God, Jesus, you're in charge. Have your way. Jesus awaits an invitation, not only in a building, but in your life and in your heart. And it's not a one-time deal, right? You don't just say, Jesus, can you come into my heart? And that's it. No. Every time that you sin and every time that you recognize from the Holy Spirit that you have done something, say, Jesus, come again. I'm wretched. I can't do this without you. Come again. I invite you in. And people are struggling right now with physical ailments. Have you said, Jesus, I welcome you into this situation. I welcome you into my physical body, my spiritual body, and my emotional body right now. I welcome you in. Have your way. Touch me. Heal me like only you can do. Or whoever it is in your life. Jesus won't come where he's not welcome. He needs to be invited. Jesus, he stands, knocks, and awaits for us to let him in. See, this is his grace, but his grace is also tied to our personal responsibility. Jesus was knocking at the door of the hearts of the Laodicean believers, just like he might be knocking on your heart right now. The church of Laodicea was busy enjoying worldly pleasures of money, security, material things, possessions. And what it did is it became dangerous and it became destructive. Because of their temporary satisfaction, their hearts were indifferent to God and his offer of lasting satisfaction. Here's a prophetic perspective of this church. Laodicea is a picture of the church in the last days. Do we know any churches like that? Maybe denominations? Maybe professing Christians? See, it's heart-wrenching to imagine Christ standing outside his own church going, "Hey, guys, I'm out here. Can I come in? Hello?" That's heart-wrenching to think about that. But we need to ask ourselves, is this a picture of us today? Hello? You keep doing that and you haven't invited me in? Hello? You know why it's bad? I'm outside. Let me in. But I need you. Have you ever seen that picture of Jesus standing at that door, right? I love it because it's kind of a cool revelation of this picture here. And there, Jesus is standing outside the door and you see him knocking and then you see somebody on the other side of the door and there's only one doorknob. And the doorknob's on the inside to let somebody from the outside in. There's only one doorknob. It has to be invited. Has God been pushed out of believers assembling together? Has the word of God been compromised in the pulpit? Are we too busy with our plans, programs, procedures, and our traditions to even notice that Jesus has been pushed aside and maybe even possibly pushed out of the church? Have we been too busy? Martha! Martha! Get on my feet. Get on my feet like Mary. Followers of Jesus, if you find yourself feeling indifferent to church or indifferent to God or indifferent to the Bible, you have begun to shut God out of your life. Leave the door of your heart constantly open to God and you won't need to worry about hearing his knock. Let Jesus in. It's your only hope for a lasting fulfillment. Jesus wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us to open up to him. He is patient. And what I love about Jesus too is he's also persistent. What does that mean? It means he won't give up. You can turn and turn and turn and turn and sin and sin, and he's still persistent knocking. Let me in. Let me in. Trying to get through to us this morning. Jesus, he's not into breaking and entering, but he is into knocking. He allows us to decide whether or not we're going to open our lives up to him. So, church, what side of the door do you keep Jesus' life-changing presence on? Talking to somebody the other day, and one of the problems that we have in America is our medical infrastructure. Now you think, yeah, right, you know, Trump care, Obama care, whatever care. What? No, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is this. Immediately when you don't feel well, you run to the medicine cabinet, not to your knees. Immediately. It's first reaction. You live in any other country, third world most likely, you live in any third world country, you don't have that pleasure. You can't run to a medicine cabinet and grab any kind of medicine. Now you can maybe go to a local witch doctor because you don't know any other way, or you can run to Jesus. The great physician is what the word call him. so many things that God is knocking at the door of that we don't let him in. Little things, big things, medium things, all kinds of things. Jesus doesn't want to be sprinkled into your life. He wants to be your life. The Laodicean church was so blessed that they got like stale, nasty water and they just sat and they soaked. And I know a lot of churches like that. Well, thank you God for all the tithe. Listen, if you all stop tithing, God's still gonna move. You just get to choose to be moving with him or not. At the end of each of these seven letters, we're going to finish the last one next week about the faithful church. Okay, the faithful church. What a good and amazing example of the Church of Philadelphia. So cool. Faithful church. But every letter to these seven churches, all believers were urged to what? Now we heard it in a prophecy this morning, prophetic word given to us. All the churches were asked and all the believers are asked and urged to listen to what? What the Spirit is saying. And take heart, or another word to say that is obey what the Spirit is saying. A different message was addressed to these seven churches. Each of these seven churches has a different message, all of them. All these messages contain warnings and principles for everyone back then and right now. So I'm going to leave everyone today with three questions. Then I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to pray, and I pray that you're going to go change the world. Why? Because the world changer lives in you. Okay? And I'll have, Brent, I'll just have you come up in just a moment, but I want to ask you these questions as well. These are the three questions I want to leave us with today in the book of Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. It's these three questions. Which of these seven letters speaks most directly to our church? First, open Bible. Which one of these letters speaks directly to us right now? Here's the second question. Which of these letters has the greatest bearing on your own personal spiritual condition right now? Which one of these letters speaks to you where you're at right now spiritually? And here's the last question. Now, church, how will you respond to what the Spirit is saying? Will you stand? Brent, will you come, please? Thank you. Dear living God, we recognize that you're here with us right now. Recognize that when Jesus ascended to heaven, he said he's going to send another, a helper. You're going to be omnipresent, omniscient. You're going to be all-powerful and everywhere and all-knowing. And I ask that right now, the way that you are moving in this world, it says in your word that the way that you move in this world right now is we live in the age of grace. But the way that you move in this world is through your church. The way that people will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and will be saved is through your church. The way that the lost will understand and the people will be lifted up and people will be healed and encouraged and signs, wonders, and miracles will happen through the church. Spirit of God, what are you saying to us now as a church of First Open Bible? And what are you saying to us now in our own personal lives? Thank you for these seven letters. They're a blessing to us. I know they've been a blessing to many people for generation after generation after generation, but I want you to know that today we appreciate your word. It says it's alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It speaks to us right now. It was written for churches long ago, but the spiritual meanings and the spiritual application that was for then is also for now. That's why it's prophetic. It's as things should be now, maybe not as they are now, but they could be. Father, as we get in your word next week and we learn about the Church of Philadelphia and even the Church of First Open Bible, God, I pray that we hear what the Spirit is saying and we obey. If there's anything that we want to be known for on this planet, is to love Jesus, to hear what the Spirit is saying and obeying the Spirit of God. Father, I lift every person up in here right now for two things. I want to pray for the sensitivity and the quietness of their spirit to hear what the Spirit is saying. God, may you quiet our spirits, our souls, our minds down so we can hear what the Spirit is saying. That's number one. God, help us hear what we need to hear. And number two is this. Father, give us the boldness to do it. We cannot do it on our own. But with you as our strength, with you as our sight, with you as our anointing and power and the presence, we can do it. Not only can we do it, you've called us to do it. I thank you for the Great Commission. I thank you that you called us to love one another, and through the love that we have for each other, the world will know that you, that we are your disciples. Give us the boldness to do what you've called us to do. We are listening. Church, will you say this before I say amen? I want you to repeat after what I say. I'm going to say one thing, and if you agree with that, I want you to say it. I am listening, Lord. Do you agree with that? Say it again. I am listening, Lord. I am listening, Lord. I will obey. We love you, Jesus. We thank you. In your name, amen.